continue our study in the book of Ezekiel. Rather than to go over chapter by chapter of what's going on in Ezekiel, right now we're going to move ahead to the, I believe it is the 25th chapter. What has transpired, as we know, is Ezekiel is has been chosen of God to be a prophet, that he's prophesying about Israel, and he's prophesying about the fall of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple that's going to come because of the sins of Israel. He's trying to tell them there's no need in them trying to resist. They're trying to go against the punishment that's coming upon them, which is the Babylonian Empire coming to conquer Jerusalem and conquer Israel and take them out of the land for 70 years. In the 24th chapter, just preceding what we're going into, is a main event of Ezekiel's wife dies. I just want to back up to the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 15, where he says, "Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down." What this was is the death of Ezekiel's wife. And evidently she wasn't in any way ill, as far as we know, or near death for any reason. But God chose to take her away. Now that shows us that God is the giver and the taker of life. And we need to remember that and understand that. And also what he was depicting here was the fall of Jerusalem. That when Ezekiel's wife died, that's when Jerusalem fell. When Jerusalem fell, of course, God's telling Ezekiel here he cannot cry for his wife, who is the desire of his eye, because that's how he's describing Jerusalem to himself, is that Jerusalem was the desire of God's eye. And because of their sins, he had caused them to be taken and for the city to be destroyed and the temple as well. So he's telling Ezekiel he cannot cry for this because for his wife dying, he puts it in the same way as this judgment against Israel. In the 25th chapter, we're going over here because we're going to talk about the nations that God is pronouncing judgment against. The first nation that he is announcing the judgment against is Ammon. Now, Ammon, or the Amorites, were the people that came from the incestuous relationship between Lot and his youngest daughter. If you remember the story of Lot and how he was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah and was sent over to a little city called Zoar, and he lived in the city of Zoar, and then he became fearful for his life being there because perhaps the people of Zoar were much the same way as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they knew that he was from Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was the only one that escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they perhaps in Zoar there were against him because of that. The Bible says he feared for his life and went and lived in a cave with his two daughters. His two daughters, feeling that they wanted to continue or perpetuate the seed of the family, caused their father to become drunken, and they laid with him during the night, first the oldest and then the youngest, and from that they both had children. Now, when you look at the whole situation, and you look at what comes of it throughout history, nothing good really comes from it. And in the end, they are going to be judged, and the nation of Ammon, or the Amorites, is no longer going to exist. The Bible says in the 25th chapter, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites, and prophesy against them, and say unto the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou saidst, Aha, against my sanctuary when it was profane, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee and make their dwellings in thee, They shall eat thy fruit, and they shall drink thy milk. Now, what he does here is God pronounces judgment against these nations that we're going to talk about, and there's six of them, and he pronounces judgment against them because either they helped in the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem, or they in some way were happy about what was taking place. In other words, they saw the suffering of Jerusalem and of Israel being conquered by the Babylonian Empire, and they in some ways rejoiced and were glad to see it. And so God decided that he would pass judgment against them. The Ammonites were people that once again, the nation was going to disappear and they were never going to be known of again. And to this day, there are no lineage or there is no nation known any longer as Ammon. The next one in verse 8 is that of Moab. And these are the descendants that are of the oldest daughter of Lot, the Moabites. And again, nothing good came of the situation where the daughters had children by their father. The verse 8, he says, "Thus saith the Lord God, because that Moab and Seir do say, behold, the house of Judah is like unto all the heathen. Therefore, behold, I will open the side of Moab from the cities, from his cities, which are on his frontiers, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, and Baal Meon, and Kerathim, unto the men of the east with the Ammonites, and will give them in possession, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord." So both these races of people are going to be removed, they're going to be conquered, they're going to suffer the justice of God, his judgment against them, because of their sins against Israel, or their enjoyment that Israel was being punished. Now, that's why I think we need to be very careful today. A lot of people have talked poorly about Israel through the years, have figured that Israel being not a Christian nation is something that should be preached against. Now, I do not agree for preaching for them not being a Christian nation. I believe they need to turn to Christ. They need to be a Christian nation, but I don't think God is through with them yet. I think history and many of the things that we see transpiring show us that the work of God is in play when we look at many of the things and the dates of things that occur in Israel. And of course, only time, things of this nature will tell. There are things that we don't really know about. But we should never rejoice in the fact that another nation is suffering or is in bad shape or wish something evil in any way to come upon another nation. But because these nations did that, destruction came upon them because they were against Israel. The next one is Edom, and of course those are the Edomites, and the Edomites were the descendants of Esau, and they, of course, you can read the book of Obadiah, and in the book of Obadiah, he talks about the destruction of Edom, even though they were up in the rocks, and they thought themselves to be impenetrable, and they thought themselves to be those who couldn't be touched. And it just shows you, too, how a family feud goes, because we know that Jacob and Esau were brothers. Jacob was the younger, but he received both the birthright, and he also received the blessing from Jacob. He became the father of the nation of Israel. And of course, Esau was pretty much left with not much at all. And they, of course, even though later on in their life may have gotten along, their descendants did not. And perhaps their descendants were jealous of what they saw going on with Israel because Israel was a blessed nation. However, God told the nations around Israel, if you bless Israel and you do good to Israel, I will bless you as well. And of course, they just never got along and never did this. So Edom, too, is going to suffer destruction. And one of the reasons is that when Babylon came in to conquer the land of Israel, many of the Israelites left the land or departed from it, and the Edomites gathered them up and turned them back over to the Babylonians. And for that reason, we read here in verse 12, "Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of the Dedan shall fall by the sword, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saying the Lord God. So once again, Edom is another nation that doesn't exist, or another race of people that has no lineage left in the world. So God is pronouncing judgment against the nations, just as he pronounced judgment against Israel. And I sometimes shudder to think of the judgment God may cast against this nation because of its sins and because of the things that this nation does. And as we're going to read in a moment about a nation that I think greatly shows us or mimics what the United States is like. The next nation is Philistia, which was the Philippines. They were the people, of course, that Samson fought with, the Philistines. The Philistines, it is believed today, actually, to be the descendants of the Philistines, are believed to be those that are in the land over there next to Israel that are claiming the Palestinians that are claiming that the land is theirs. So if you see that if the Philistines had been dealt with correctly and had been destroyed as they should have been when Israel possessed the land, they wouldn't be dealing with them today. But the problem is they were not. But God did cast judgment against them, although he does not say that I see here that they will be totally wiped out like the Ammon or the Moabs or the Edomites. He does say that because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the cherithims and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. The next nation that he talks about is the nation of Tyrus. And this is the one that I think a lot of times mimics the United States. Tyrus was a coastal city. It was a city of Tyre that had built itself up and was a city of great wealth. It was a city of commerce. They did a tremendous amount of trade on the Mediterranean Sea. They perhaps had a numerous amount of ships. They had, like we said, great wealth, and the king had exalted himself. They had begun to think to themselves that they were just above everybody else, that they were such a great place, and that nothing compared to them. Well, once again, because of their haughtiness, because of their high-mindedness, and because of their down-thinking towards Jerusalem and Israel, God said that he would destroy them as well. So in verse 1 of chapter 26, and it came to pass in the 11th year in the first day of the month that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus has set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people, she is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Then it shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. Because Tyrus was rich, because Tyrus had vaunted itself, it talked about how great of a place it was, and had again laughed at the fact that Israel had suffered because of their sins and that Jerusalem would be destroyed, God said, I will punish Tyrus. Well, we know that Nebuchadnezzar did conquer Tyrus or Tyre. They moved the city from where it was at, actually out to more of an island just off of the coast, and rebuilt or migrated to that. Then under Alexander the Great, when he came through, he wanted to conquer it. And of course, they were off the coast, so how do you get there? Well, you build a causeway out to it. And that's what his army did. And they took all the ruins of the city of Tyre, They swept up even the dust off of the foundations, and they put it out into the sea, and they built a causeway that allowed them to go out to the city and be able to destroy it once and for all. Now, in so doing, they fulfilled this prophecy that she would, as in verse 4, he says, I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock, and it shall be a place of the spreading of nets. So that's how devastated and cleaned the area that the city of Tyrus or Tyre had been built upon. In chapter 27, there is a lament over Tyre and over the fact of what happens unto her and all the merchants and the riches that she dealt with. And then in chapter 28, and I believe chapter 28 talks a great deal about Satan. In chapter 28, he talks about the fall of the prince of Tyrus. And he says in the beginning of the 28th chapter, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by the traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of the riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Now, here he's talking about the king or the prince of Tyrus, who evidently has exalted himself to a divinity, thinking himself to be God in some way in his heart of what he has created or what he has done. When we go over to verse 13, we read something there that I think gives us a glimpse into why we believe that he is speaking here in a, perhaps in a dual way, not just of the prince of Tyre, but also of Satan, because he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets. Now, tabrets would be sounds. They would be like tubes, perhaps, that sounds would go, like, if I understand that right, the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. It sounds a lot like what Ezekiel is prophesying about here, is giving us a glimpse into the character that we know of as Satan or the devil, who was in the Garden of Eden, as this chapter so says, who did exalt himself up, and it was pride that caused him to fall. Iniquity was found in him, and of course, many of these things, as you can read here, describe him in that such a way. In chapter 29 is the final nation that God is going to bring judgment against here, and that is Egypt. And Egypt was one of those that always had helped out or had tried to come to Israel to help them defeat common enemies between them, such as the Assyrian Empire. They were one of the nations that Israel relied upon rather than relying upon God. The other thing is, we know that it was in Israel that the people were in bondage for over 400 years. Now, God is going to bring Egypt down. He is going to have them destroyed or going to have them conquered and scattered out of their land for a space of 40 years. Then he will have them come back into the land, but they will never, ever be the nation that they once were. Once and for all, Egypt was going to become a very base nation. They weren't going to be a power in the Middle East any longer. Now, we've seen that fulfilled in the prophecies that we have. He says here in the 29th chapter, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him in all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which has said, My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick into thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of the rivers shall stick unto thy scales. Then I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields. Thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of the heaven. And all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of thee by thy hand, thou didst break and rend all their shoulder. And when they lean upon thee, thou breakest and madest all their loins to be a stand. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'll bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, The river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore, I am against thee, and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Syene even to the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. God raised up Babylon, and he raised up the great army of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar to punish and to defeat Israel. In order to do that, one of the things that Babylon had to do was to defeat the Assyrian Empire. Now, Babylon was part of the Assyrian Empire at one time, but as the Assyrian Empire's power began to fade, the Babylonian Empire's power began to grow. So Babylon attacked and destroyed Assyria. Now, along with that, they, of course, attack and they come in and they take Israel. Now, one thing that a nation has to have in all these conquests, if they're going to go conquer other nations, is they got to have an army. They got to have weapons. They got to have armor. They got to have all the food to supply the army. They got to have the horses and all the things they need. Well, in order to get that, it requires money. A king just can't say, do it. People have to be paid. Bills have to be paid. Debts have to be paid. Money is necessary for the war machine. In the Battle of Tyrus and conquering Tyre, Babylon did not receive much riches from the city itself. They were not able to, or Nebuchadnezzar was not able to get the funds that he needed. In other words, if they came to a poor nation, chances are a mighty army isn't even going to fool with it, because there's nothing there worth their time and effort of conquering it or taking it. They might assimilate it in or just move into the land or whatever the case may be. So what God did was he gave Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar now would go over and conquer Egypt, and that's where he would get his riches from, so that he could supply and support his army. So not only does God pronounce judgment against these six nations, but he also pronounces judgment against Babylon. Now, it's not here, but we will see it in other prophecies, that Babylon was going to pay for going in and taking Israel, even though that was God's plan. God was going to bring Babylon down because they had conquered Israel and because of some of the ways that they had treated Israel. And that, of course, did happen. Here, as he talks and prophesies to Egypt, Pharaoh, once again, the leader of Egypt that we've seen throughout the Old Testament, thinks himself to be divine. Divine enough that he thinks he created or made the river, and perhaps the great river being talked about here is the River Nile, and that he has made this wealthy and great nation, and because of that, God said, I'm going to bring you down, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to make it so that man nor beast is going to pass through you, and you are going to be scattered out of Egypt for 40 years. And this, of course, took place. In verses 15 and 16 of the 29th chapter, it shall be the beast of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations, for I will diminish them, and they shall no more rule over the nations. And it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, which bringeth their iniquity to remembrance, when they shall look after them, but they shall know that I am the Lord God. God said in the 14th verse, just prior to this, that they will be a base kingdom. That means a very low kingdom, and that's what he talks about in the 15th verse. They're going to be the basest of kingdoms. They'll never have the power to influence other nations. They will never have the power again for Israel to say, we'll go get help from Egypt, and Egypt will help us defeat our enemies, instead of Israel looking to God as they should have done. So God goes on to tell about the prophecy against Egypt, that they will be taken by Babylon in the remainder of the chapter. He talks about the destruction and the execution of his judgments against Egypt in the 30th chapter, and that Egypt will be struck down just like Assyria was in the 31st chapter. In the 32nd chapter, again, those around Egypt laments because Egypt has fallen. And in the latter part of the 32nd chapter, he talks there about Egypt in Sheol, or in the grave. Now that's how defeated that Egypt is going to become. We're going to stop there tonight, because that ends the section that is on the judgment of the nations that Ezekiel talks about, that God is going to bring judgment against these nations for their sins against Israel, or their enjoyment in the fact that Israel had been fallen or being taken over by the Babylonian Empire. We'll stand now, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.